Today is Father's Day, June 19th. It's the day we celebrate it, the day the country celebrates it. You'll notice that even though fathers are not mothers and mothers are not fathers, that in the Bible it often connects the two because that's the way God started the creation out, mothers and fathers. And although there are a handful of people that want to make them the same or whatever, the Bible will not, does not, cannot, and it'll never happen. So, even though there's always a handful of rebels, God, whenever God creates something, He sustains it, and it remains. And so, it still takes mothers and fathers. So, when we exalt the one, we also exalt the other. So, today, I think the first thing that I want to say is hear what the Spirit speaks to the churches. What is the Holy Spirit speaking today on this day that we recall fathers, earthly fathers? Is that the Heavenly Father is the key. The Heavenly Father is the key. He's the one that sent His Son, Jesus, whom we call Messiah, to be our Son of Man, Messiah. Though He is the Son of God, never stopped being. You are what you are. And so Jesus was and is and will always be the Son of God. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, which connects the two, the Holy Spirit is really their Holy Spirit. In other words, as the Father loves the Son, so the Son loves every man, so let every man love his wife. Well, that connection between the Father and the Son is our key. You can't be a father the way God understands the word, the term father, the office father, without understanding the fatherhood of God over Jesus. And as a matter of fact, as Son of God, He isn't over Jesus. He is over Son of Man. So when Son of God became Son of Man, which is not eternal, it's just during time, gave us a picture of what a man should be like, a father. What should a father be like? How does a father treat a son? How does the son treat the father? And then we began to see that there's a difference between nature and government. God's Son is just as much God as the Father, and therefore we worship both. But the Spirit that's between them is also the same Spirit that is now making us into their, including Himself, image. And so Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we were created in their threefold image and likeness. There's no, unlike all other gods, there's no higher and lower in the kingdom of God. So as far as nature goes, the Holy Spirit's God, Jesus is God, and God the Father is God, so they're all God. And that's not a self-evident truth. In other words, don't ever expect the world to agree to it, nor any of the other religions of the world. They can't grasp it, and it's a miracle if they ever got a hold of it. But they can get a hold of it, because if anybody could change us, you know that would be God. And if anybody could make us perfect, you know that would be God. If anybody can alter us fundamentally, turning from sinners to saints, turning us from rebels to sons, turning us from imperfect to perfect, well, that would be God. And so the love of the Father through the Son, according to the power of the Spirit, is how we are made sons of God. Now, the Holy Spirit's job is to take what the Father created and the Son redeemed and then apply it to us to bring us into complete conformity to the Father and the Son. So that's what He's doing. He's actually doing that through my ministry, but you can get it in lots of ways. I don't have the ministry, just a ministry in the body of Christ. But so this is the best time to be alive, because the Lord is about to come back to get his bride without spot, blemish, stain, anything that would not be perfectly in line. Why would it be perfectly in line? The reason it's perfectly in line is not because of our behavior, or not because of our feelings or our thoughts or anything we do or don't do. The reason it's perfect is because the Father did it through the Son, according to the power of the Spirit. So when Jesus died for us, that didn't change us. That only gave us a new heart. So that's a change, but not the whole change. Salvation is a process. It's not a one-time event like Jesus died on the cross, I believe. It's like you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit as well as into water for the Son. So when you're baptized into water, you die because you go under the water. And then when you rise up, you resurrect. But that's just your spirit. That is not yet your soul. That is not yet your body, your life. So when people come out of the water, they're looking for a change. And they go, I don't feel any different. I'm not even acting any different. You know, what was that? And so it's a misunderstanding of what that was. You actually were regenerated and you became a spiritual being, but only from the heart, not yet from the soul. That is, not yet perfected. So justification by faith is only the beginning. Then sanctification in the Holy Spirit is the middle. And then being led by that same Spirit instead of by your own understanding, your own will, your own emotions, that is the perfection. So we have a threefold perfection. It begins in the spirit, then it moves to the soul, and then it moves to the body, the life, your behavior. And men do not see the first two. They don't see that you're born again. So it doesn't do any good to say, well, I'm born again. You are, but it hasn't shown up yet in a glorious way. And then even if you're under discipleship or discipline or submitting yourself to the lordship of Jesus, Savior, Lord, and then bridegroom, we don't look like, act like a bride yet, but we have some growth. We see daily growth. And so the whole idea, and this is why the church is lukewarm, this is why there's no understanding today, that there's no fear of God. That's because he never said, just be born again. He never said, just be justified. Just men made perfect. Just men made perfect. Hebrews 12:2. There's, I don't know, 70 scriptures that indicate it's always a process, a growth, a procedure. And so every day we're being made righteous, right? But God sees us in heaven without time and space, so he doesn't have a promise that isn't fulfilled. When he obligated himself, it was over. If God obligates himself, it's over. If I obligate myself, it's not. But because I'm not perfect. But when God obligates himself, it's over in heaven. You're already the new creation. So if he starts something, you don't know it, but he knows whether you're going to finish. Because you play a role. The first one is easy because it's passive, but the second two are active. You actually are willing, you want to be mature, but you'd have to be preached that. Somebody would have to preach that to you, teach that, and set up a way in which you structure your church that happens. And so since most churches don't do that, that means most churches are only getting people justified, and they call it saved, but it's not. You just started the salvation, but you have to continue. If you continue in my word, so there's more word, and there's more word. So that's the misunderstanding, and so I'm right, and other ministers are wrong. It's not a big statement. It's just simply, I read the book, And I tried doing it without going any further. And I realized it didn't work. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord all the way. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. Spirit, soul, body, on and on and on. So today I want to talk about fathers, because a father is in the third chair. But as you know, most fathers are not in the third chair. They're not even in the second chair that I'm talking about, because they're still in the first chair at best. And at worst, they're not even that. They're so liberal that they're just simply pagan. And so it's hard to tell, only God knows. And it's none of my business. I don't even care. If you put fertilizer on AstroTurf, you can find out right away it didn't work. So I don't really need to know whether a person's real grass or AstroTurf. Doesn't matter to me at all. I just throw out the same word, same fertilizer. And if they seem to grow, they're not AstroTurf. You know, they're the real thing. But if they don't grow, I still don't know, but I can put dung on them, because that's another way to build up the turf, you know, to build up the ground, the soil under that turf. And so it doesn't bother me at all. I'm never frustrated. I just do what he tells me to do. Delivery boy. And I just deliver the word. That's it. I never read the mail that the people get. You know, here's the good news. Here's the good news. You know, here's a bill. Here's a bill. I don't preach bills, so I only preach good news. So your debt's been paid. You don't owe anything. And so I set people free. So I like my ministry better than other ministers. If I wasn't in the ministry, I would have trouble finding a church I could stay in. I could go and visit it, but I'd be critical. I'd go, it's not the gospel. And I'd want to take over. I mean, I just like, could I say something? And then they'd crucify me, so it'd be hard to go to another church after that. So because I couldn't find a church like that to go forth from, here I am. So I have to create the church that I know is the correct church. And how can I be right and everybody else wrong? And I know I'm not the only one. But it's rare. I know it's rare. And so, but I'm always happy to meet other ministers that love God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their body, strength, life, mind, whatever. So fathers. The fathers then are in chair three here, or I call it chair six, but whatever, just this one right here. The fathers are those that are able to have children. I didn't think teenagers should have children. And I don't think children should have children. So these are called little children, young men, mature fathers. So what I'm after today is, first of all, God is our heavenly father, but our earthly fathers are to submit to God or they never get here. So if they don't submit here, they can't get here. And if they're not born here, they can't even do that. So they might be of age, but they might still be childish. Some men who are, you know, 21 or 30 or 35 or whatever get married, but they're still juveniles. And that's most. And so it's very hard for young girls today to find a husband who is worthwhile, who actually is spiritual. Most men are not. And most churches are filled with women, because women are more open, and men are, they know they're liars and hypocrites and so on, so they stay away. And they try to keep as much money as they can anyway, so they don't really want church, because they just feel like hypocrites there, but they can't sing high. And, you know, so when they start the singing, men are down, way down here, and most of the leaders are higher up. So that's another reason that they can't do it. They don't have a good bass voice like Dan. And so they just kind of mumble and grumble, and and they endure. We have some here in this church. I know they don't really like to sing. So they say, I can't carry a tune in a basket, whatever that means. And so, and you're that way, Andrew? Okay, that's good. But at least you can hum. At least you can try. Amen. Now, Alex has a really high voice. He could sing really high, but today you were singing kind of low. Yeah, that's unusual.
So people could sing low.
Yeah. Is that why you did it?
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly the case because men can't. Peggy can. She has a high voice. So on and so forth. Anyway, so church is not the place most men feel comfortable because they sin a lot and they know it and they don't pretend, at least not in the presence of other men. So what we're teaching is that every man, and this is my goal, mature in Christ. Every man, mature, not a young teenager, not a little child. So there are three different words for those three stages. So salvation is all three, same as fatherhood. A young child is not a father. Young man or young woman is not an adult. But once you're an adult, that means you're of age to bear children. So this one could, but you are not mature enough to do it. So you should not do it at 13, 14. Even though they could. So God has his own program. And I appreciate it that you understand that my job is not just to have people born again, either come or get it here, whatever, and then be disciple disciplined, which you can't do in church. You cannot do this on Sunday morning. You can't disciple people on Sunday morning. And then to finally become a mature leader, whatever you want to call him, father in the faith. And so you can tell we're not getting too far. You know, we don't get very far. So if you come already ready-made, that's okay. I'll take those. But you had to go through hell to get mature. I'm just telling you, the only way you can find out if somebody's mature is you test them through the fire. So fire is the best test to make a man. In other words, a lot of failure, a lot of I don't know if you've noticed this, but flesh dies slowly. It just doesn't die quickly. I mean, you can be born again in an instant, but then growing up is what they call growing pains. It's not so easy. And then finally being mature and sober and loving and kind and no blemish and no stain, that's a good father for children. That's a good father for children. But most of us, I got married when I was definitely immature, totally immature. I had head knowledge, like I knew something, but I was a bluff and a liar and phony and fake. And so it took God to grow me up. I mean, Peggy couldn't do it because I was not teachable. I wasn't interested in being taught. I don't want to learn anything. I just want to do what I want to do. So I think most of us are like that. So to get a father, you have to realize, honor your father. Well, a little kid can do it because they don't know anything. So Brassus probably hadn't caught on yet. You know, she's still okay. Yeah, daddy's great. But that's because she knows nothing. But your son, he'll pretty soon, he'll get the idea.
He's known for a while.
He's known for a while, yeah. But you see, a girl's going to marry her father someday or someone like her father, so she's looking at him. Yeah, I like my dad. I'm going to marry just like that. But then later she might see something, and then that'll ruin it. So you have to be careful. Keep faking it so that she doesn't catch on right away. So everybody here who has had children realizes it's not easy to be married because most people marry where the man isn't mature. The woman does not have to be mature. The woman can be anything she wants to be. But the man has to leave father and mother. That is, he has to be able to honor his parents without worshiping them and without hating them. So you have to be able to honor your parents, and if you had at least one good one, you're okay. You know, then you can at least honor one of them. But if you had both of them loving each other, it works. And so it's, the hardest part is they're both on the same page spiritually. It's better if the woman is not the more mature one, but they always are. And it's better if the man were more mature, but they aren't. So that's just the problem. But I have tried, and I'm sure I've succeeded to a great extent, to cause men to grow up. Why? Because I wasn't. And so I know all their tricks and lies and whatever and so on and so forth. Because all men are addicted to something or other. They are. They're just addicted to TV or beer or, you know, girlfriends or something. They're addicted. Workaholic or, you know, trying to be a good sport person or shooters or something. They're good at something. And so women have to play second fiddle to that, and so a lot of them just get rid of them because they don't want to be a satellite. Peggy did not like being a satellite to my sunshine. You know, she was just like, I mean, she thought she was going to be a good submissive wife, but when she got into it, she realized I was a little more than she could handle. So she realized, oh, what do I do here? I could choke him, I could stab him, I could, you know, but other than that, I might have some problem here. Because I never let her win one argument even. I'm always right.
Wow.
How many know that does not work after a number of years? And now I learned to say, yes, dear, okay, fine, whatever you say. I didn't mean a word of it, but I said it because it worked. It got her off my back. Otherwise, she'd be on me constantly nabbing and nibbing and everything. But now I'm a Christian, and that was a surprise to both of us. I fell in love with Jesus all the way, and that was like, uh-oh. Converts are pretty dangerous because you were no good, and now all of a sudden you love Jesus because he first loved us. And so that was hard to understand. How can you, wow, what's happened? You know, so it's pretty amazing. Because when you get married, you marry the person as is. And then if one of them becomes a Christian, it's hard on the other one. It's like, ooh, I ain't going to church. I'm not buying that. You know, so on. So I was the one, because I was a pastor. I was not a Christian when I was a pastor. But I became a Christian while I was a pastor, which is pretty unusual. It doesn't happen. And I had to get up in front of the church and say so. As, by the way, everybody, I'm a phony, a fake, and a liar. And always have been, probably always will be. Just thought I'd give you a chance to fire me or throw me out or leave me or whatever. Because I like this job. You work 1 hour a week and get paid like, you know, for the whole year. I love it. So keep up the offerings. It's great. But I don't know, not everybody appreciated that. But most of the people, actually about 95% of the people stayed, which is amazing. I told them, you shouldn't. You have no idea, it'll be hell. It'll be hell. Because I'm going all the way with Jesus. So if you want to ride it along with me, it's going to be a bumpy ride. Because I'm going to go against the grain. I don't fit in. I will not fit in. I'm going to follow Jesus and his Bible, his book. Whatever it says, that's it. Period.
Amen.
And I don't care if you like it or not. I'm going to dig to the bottom to find out what it says. It may take me a few years because head knowledge is not Christianity. Yeah. I had a lot of head knowledge, but I had zero heart, zero soul. Yeah, none of that. I might outwardly behave it just to get the pay. But actually, after I'm done with that, I was just trying to beef up the outfit and fill in the till. And, you know, that is it. And then I could play golf or, you know, play tennis or whatever. And I did. I love that kind of stuff. I love doing that. And it was just a great job. Did you know that ministers have a day off? I have never taken a day off, I don't know, for 15, 20 years. I don't even know. I work all the time for the Lord. Why? I'm in love. So what would I do with a day off? I'd witness. I mean, I'd just share Jesus. I don't care where I go. I'm just always going to share Jesus. And I can hardly wait. And so I don't mind pagans at all. It's just good. You know, I get to share Jesus with these people, and they like it. I've never met people that really don't like it. There's very, very few. Because most people have trouble. And I can nail it because I used to be no good just like they were. And so I love to say, you know, I listen for the flaw right there. Ah, gotcha. Let me tell you something. Boom. And people listen. So our God is good. Fathers. Where? How do you make a father? How do you make a father? I've been teaching you.
By being a mature Christian.
Okay, because he has to be mature. Every man mature in Christ. Every man mature in Christ. Every man. So, technon, little child, and then young men, young women, and then mature mothers, fathers. But we're talking now about fathers. How do you make a mature father? You have to kill him here in chair five. You have to kill the man. Kill him. What does that mean? Not physical. You're talking about psychologically, don't let the self rule. You were forgiven for all your sins as a little child, but now you want them to submit so that they get rid of. Don't let those sins rule. No more anger, no more lust, no more bitterness, no more jealousy, no more envy, no more fear, no more anything. You don't get any of those anymore. Nothing can reign in your life except Jesus. Well, that usually takes a week or two to get a man to get rid of all those things. I love it. I love that ministry. Is killing men, choking them until they can't breathe, so that sin no longer rules. Because men are egocentric, selfish, addicted, bitter, competitive. You have to knock all that out of them until only Jesus is Lord. So this is Savior. He's the easy one. I'll forgive you all your sins. Cool. That's a good offer right there. Let's start with that. And then, well, as soon as they hear about dying, that one's more nervous. I don't know about it. I don't know why I'd given up all my sins. I got a few favorites. I want to keep those. Every once in a while, I want to swear. Every once in a while, I want to, you know, look around and so on and so forth. And so men have all these other addictions, and I don't work on women. I'm not after women. I don't work on them. Because everybody, all pastors work with women because that's mostly what they got. But I work on men. And I love to kill them, you know, because I had to die. I'm not. You're going to be just like me. You have to die too. If I had to go all the way, you have to go all the way. So I don't have any mercy on men at all, you know. I don't want any sin in your life. And if you have one, you have to immediately confess it. Say you're sorry. And men hate that at first, but after a while, they will. No, it helped. It really helped because it's like taking cancer out of somebody. The cancer wasn't good. Being mean and tyrannical and, you know, lustful and bitter and so on and so forth doesn't help. Or, you know, men are often fearful that I'll lose my job. If they lose their job, they've lost their whole purpose. You know, making money is the only thing that gives them any value. Having kids is easy for them, so that's not a big deal. But for the woman, that's a bigger deal. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for a guy, that's not a big deal at all. So when you bring somebody into the world, you have to grow them all the way up, and you just can't leave it to the wife, to the mother. And so to get a mature father in the Lord, or just to get a mature father at all, it's quite a miracle. And today men are wimps for the most part. Very few men, maybe motorcycle gangs or something, are tyrants, but most men are wimps. They're not really trying to be leaders. But you have to be a leader. If you're a father, you're bringing children into the world. The children have mother and father. They want the father to be, you know, good. So that's my job, really, is to help every man mature in Christ. That's Colossians 1:28. Okay, so we're going to look at that. But right now, I don't want to start there. I want to start with God being the Father. There's a whole bunch of scriptures about God the Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So our Father, if a man would pray that prayer, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and so on and so on and so on. So all of that humbles a man because he's saying God is our Father. And so that's the first thing you have to learn is God, your Father, has saved you, meaning justified you. You're just. But now just men must be made perfect. That's a little more difficult. So how do you get just men? Hebrews 12:2. How do you get just men to be made perfect? And James 2 and so on and so forth. I could go through them all. It says that James is also into, and so is Peter, and so is Paul, all of them. They're all into perfecting a man, Father's Day. So we want a perfect man. Don't get married yet because you're not yet perfected. Okay. You're old enough, but you're not yet mature enough, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So don't get married tomorrow. Just hold off. Because we have to kill you first. So you're no longer running your life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Y'all, would you all pray for Alex?
That's good, yes.
So don't be fooled by his eagerness and words. You know, it can't be words. It has to be deeds. Does that make sense? So that you actually take care of yourself and are a good steward of your time, of your treasure, of your talents. You have to be a good steward. Not easy to do. And so growing up is hard today because a lot of men don't have fathers. Fathers are absent, whether they're alive or dead. A lot of fathers are just absent. Even if they're at home, they're not there. They're living a double life. They're living some kind of triple life. How many know men do that? Could anyone say amen? I mostly heard women, but that's okay. And so I don't want that. You have to be single. You know, nothing else. No other God. One God. Period. That simplifies things. Because then the man is not God. That's one thing it simplifies. Let me think. Now, who's God? Me or God? So, you're not. And so that's the killing. So chair 5 is the difficult one, but it's my favorite. This is my most comfortable, most wonderful chair, is the fire chair. This is one, the electric chair, whatever you want to call it. This is a good one, right here. Because,
up in smoke.
You have, yeah.
No, the electric chair, you go up in smoke.
Oh, you do, yeah, right. And that's what we want, is your death, but not your physical death. We want your psychological death. So the scriptures are loaded then, and most people don't know it because pastors don't teach it, because pastors aren't there. You can't teach what you don't have. You can't live or give what you don't have. You have to be what you're talking about, or no, it's not going to be convincing at all, because it isn't exactly the theory that counts. It's the reality that matters. So, for a man to be mature, he has to be dead. For a man to be dead, he'd have to be born. So here, you're born of the Spirit. Here, you're filled with the Spirit. Here, you're led of the Spirit. And if you're not led, you are not yet a father in the faith, for sure. But you won't make a good husband either, or a good father. So, God wants to mature us, and it's not being done by 99.9% of the churches today. That's why they're called lukewarm. Because they tolerate sin in a man. Now, let me just say something else. No woman can get her man perfected. Because even though you marry a man and you think your love will kind of carry him over, it won't. It has no impact at all. Guys don't care that they're loved. They just want to be respected as an idiot. That's all. They just want to be respected as an idiot. So women, they don't care about being respected. Because all men respect her. Oh, she's a wonderful person. Yeah, she's very nice. Compared to me, she's great. So women, they don't want to be respected. They want to be loved. That's the one thing men are not into. You know, they can do it for 5 minutes, but after that, it's over. You know, well, let's watch TV or drink a beer or go do something else or whatever. Men are not lovers. They're not into that. So courting, that's all fake. But when you get down to the real thing, long-term, a man isn't into long-term relationships. Men just aren't. They're just really short-term. It's short-term, sorry. Sorry about that. Well, I want a man that, you know, is enduring. And so you have a problem there. you better kill him. To get that, you have to kill him. And he'll endure. So, Raul, I hope you're getting there.
Slowly.
Slowly. It's a slow cooker. This is a slow burn. I love it. Now, let's start with this. Every man mature in Christ is Colossians 1:28, and I want to get there. But here's another thing, is God is our loving Father. God is our loving Father. There is no such thing as God being an angry judge. I'm sorry. It's not. I know everybody's afraid of his angry side. He doesn't have an angry side. Yes, he does. No, he doesn't. He does. If you don't do what he says, he's going to get you. No, he's not. You got yourself. He was trying to redeem you. He put all his anger, his wrath on Jesus, his son, and there ain't no more left. And then he had Jesus tell you the good news. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I'm taking all their sin and all the pain and suffering and everything. I'm taking that all onto me. And I'm telling them the good news, and they're not buying it. So, that is amazing. I mean, Jesus has not sold his hotcakes yet. I mean, it's like, he's got this good news, but nobody's buying into it. Because the ministers haven't. I totally blame everything on the ministers. The ministers are saying the words, but they're not necessarily living it. As a matter of fact, a lot of pastors are hypocrites. That means you say one thing, but you're actually living something else. And I was totally a hypocrite. That's why I got up one day and said, I'm a hypocrite. Liar, fake, phony, shallow, mean, nasty, cold. And that didn't build the church up right away. But actually, it was a good foundation because it was the truth. How many know the truth will set you free? And I'll tell you one thing you can't find in this life is truth. I don't care how much you dig and how much internet you look at and whatever, you're going to find a billion different ideas. And so it's hard for young people today to learn the truth. That's why fathers should be teachers and not just mothers. The father should be the teacher to his daughters and his sons. But particularly to the son. But also the daughters are looking at that father to see whether he's perfect. And so the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, not, I'm not, you know, I'm just like every other idiot man. And so, you know, be warned. You should have a little bell on you or something like lepers used to have in the New Testament. If they'd come around the corner, they had a little bell, so you'd, the leper's coming around there. Got to give yourself away. That's a disclaimer. Don't touch me. I'm not to be touched. And so men should have that. Every man should have one of those little bells. Here I'm coming. I am a monster. Now, we have. Once you kill a man, though, he's okay. As soon as he's dead, he's fine. I don't know if you ever noticed that. You can go to a graveyard and see a body and kick it, and it won't say anything. It will not. It won't say anything. You can yell at it, you stupid old idiot. It won't say anything back. So dead people do not respond well. They just don't. They have no reaction. I don't know if you've... most people react to what other people do. But a dead person will not react. They're just completely, say nothing. They don't say one way or the other. I love it. So it's my job to kill every man. Why? Because that's what God did to me. And I want every man to enjoy the same death I enjoyed. Because why? It sets you free. It's the truth that sets you free. Once you don't have to play God, you can let God be God. And he's a better God. He is much better at keeping it going than y'all are. Now, you might think this message won't sell. I really don't care. But second of all, it will sell. Because it's true. And having a lot of ministers living a double life, or phony or fake, doesn't help. But I don't care. I'm not trying to change any of them. I would never work at that. I'm not interested in what some other minister does to his people. Remember, the Bible says something about, and I'm in agreement with the Bible, says something about, don't eat the sheep, feed the sheep. I don't know if you've noticed that in the Bible. That's in the Bible. It says that a shepherd should not be eating the product that he's supposed to be producing. He should be fattening the sheep, not eating them up. And so a lot of ministers use their people to get their ego and, you know, lust and greed and all kinds of sins that they've got going. And that's bad. I never trust pastors. Hello.
Amen.
Especially the sincere ones. I know they're lying. I don't trust them, especially when they look and act sincere.
Smile.
Let me help you. I don't do it. So, give me one that was a former mafia person or something. That I'll accept that, because that guy is not to be trusted, and he knows it. And so that's good, because that's what we should do, is let men be men. Not the women. I'm not talking about the women. I'm talking about the men. They have to be disciplined harshly.
Amen.
Okay? Because if you don't tell the truth, the whole truth, you can't be a coward. You have to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And you also have to have wisdom from God to see through all their lies and all their tricks. You ever met an alcoholic? You can break their bottles or whatever, pour it down the sink and so on. They have 100 hiding places you don't even know about. And they just know exactly how to do it. They have bottles that are filled with something else, and they have all kinds of ways they do it. I love it. So you have to be wise as serpents, but innocent as dove. Wow, that's a rare thing. That's a rare thing. And when I meet a minister who's like me, they're just raw real, I love it. It actually touches my heart. It's like, this guy is real. And that's what young people today, do they call them the X generation or millennials or whatever they call them, whatever they are, you know what? That's the best generation ever, because they have no love for God. They have no religion in them. They don't know anything about, you know, anything that's going on. And they're completely open when they hear the gospel. I never heard that. And they're completely open. So it's the harvest is ripe. It's the laborers that are few. There's the problem. So pray the Lord of the harvest.
Amen.
Send laborers into the harvest. If I left this church and I went down among young people or whatever, it'd be easy. It'd be easy. I can go to a brothel. I could go to bars and so on and so forth and win. Why? Because those people know there's something wrong. They know there's something missing. They know they don't know, you know, they don't know how to keep a marriage going, or they don't know how to, you know, function without, you know, alcohol or booze or drugs or something or other. So it's easy. This world is not hard to win. But it's hard to have a church, because a lot of people are fake and phony. And so therefore, they're not teachable. Because if you say you have a sin, no, I was born again last week or whatever. It's like, that doesn't mean anything. And so this thing is a threefold process. These three chairs, forget all the other chairs that I do, just these three count. You got to be born again. Now I'm born. Now I got to die. That's Jesus says, Lord. This was Savior. This is Lord. And this is Jesus' bridegroom. He wants mature fathers, every man mature in Christ. Now, that can be generic, every man and woman, and that's fine, because the Bible teaches that too. But God wants everybody to be mature. And so that's why church is not male. Church is not male. But discipleship should be male. We should get all the men and kill them. And then that's the best thing. So that they're dead to this world and alive to God in Christ. So that's why it's good to take seminars or go off, you know, whatever. That's the best place to do that. But women are more interested in growing than men are. How many little girls grow up much quicker than men do? At 13, I'm going to be a nurse, or I'm going to marry Elvis Presley or something. They've made their life up early on. Whereas guys are about 47 or 8 before they figure out what, you know what. They have no idea, because they're into sports, or they're so juvenile. They really are, because it's just this world. That's all they really know. And when they go to church, if they're real feminine, then they're no good, because they got that just kind of, you dress them up like You dress them up and call them fathers, but they're dressed up like mothers. So the priesthood is just an effeminate bunch. They just do what they're told, and you know, they're not really clean and pure like they look, humble and so on. And anyway, the history is full of the hypocrisy of the church for the last 2,000 years. I'm not saying it's all that way. I'm just saying a bunch of them, a lot of them, the majority. So we are living in the last days before the Lord comes back for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. And I'm going to get, yeah, I'm going to, he's going to examine me. Pastor Jim, were you able to mature Alex? He was hard to work with, God. I tried my best. I was just hard. You should have given me better material. He's not going to accept that. Jim, did you fast for him? No, I didn't fast for him. No. See, that's why he didn't grow. Did you teach him accurately? I tried my best, God. No, your best is not good enough. Did you die so that I could live through you? Because I could do it. So only God can teach you, Alex. That's powerful. I can't teach you. I can give a teaching, but it might be mine.
Right.
But it might be the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So, if we're to discipline people, nobody likes it, but that's the only way you grow. The only way you're going to grow is to be disciplined. That means you're going to submit to Jesus through human hands, though you can get it direct from Jesus. You can be directly taught by the Holy Ghost. You don't really need a pastor to do that. However, what he designed and said so is I want my ministers to be dead so that then they can pass on to faithful men what they've learned. So let's look at Colossians 1:28. Colossians 1:28. You'll notice that he talks about two things. The individual, little children, young men, mature fathers. That's an individual. But he also talks about the church. You are the light of this world. You are the salt of this earth. Okay, that is church, corporate. That is aggregate. All those individuals who come together, like in this church, who are then hearing the word of the Lord to do what? To repeat it to others? No. To live it. To actually live and act out the word of God. So it isn't he who hears, it isn't he who understands, it's he who hears to understand to do of the Father's good pleasure. So that's a mature father. So if you see somebody who's a lover, that is not a disciple. They actually are dead to this world. You can't love somebody else if you still love yourself. You can't love another person if you still love yourself. It could be 50-50 or so. That's not the way God wants it. When you love somebody, that's unconditional all the way, to the death. So you have to be ready to die, maybe physically, in terms of loving someone that's not responding well to love. Did you know a lot of people hate love? It scares them. It scares them. Because they don't want to, you know, follow God or be a different person than they are. They're comfortable with familiar things. They're not comfortable with living up to God or something, some higher standard. So most people will sink to their lowest level where they're kind of comfortable. Are you? I'm speaking in mysteries, but it shouldn't be. Everybody should know what I'm talking about, is most people will sink to their lowest level. You have children that you raise up, and some of them will go down to the lowest level for whatever reasons. And because it's easier, because you know what they'd rather have? Not a straight A student who's a good athlete and all this stuff. They'd rather have a group they could fit in with, a gang, you know, a handful of people that, you know, let them in, give them some kind of meaning. And they'll do anything for that group because they want the love. They don't want the truth. They're not after truth. They're not trying to find what's the truth, what's life all about. But some young people do. So they're very teachable. Because they want to know the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. But most people not. So you have to kind of beat it into them until they learn. It's better when you hear the truth. The truth sets you free. Love does not. Love does not. Love does not. Love binds you. When it's human love, you're just being bound to other people. You're in complete bondage. That's why I don't believe in psychology. I don't believe in honesty. I don't believe in any of those things. Not at all. Those are snares. Well, let me just be honest. You see, everybody loves that. Oh, she's being honest. Oh, he's being honest. No, she's not. It's just a trap. You're just making soul ties with people. Oh, I have that problem too. Oh, yeah, I'm just like that. That's how you make friendships. People would rather have the fruit of the gospel rather than the gospel. Most people are marketers. They're not into market. You're the only one that got that. It's very good. Praise God. I don't know how you got that. It's good. Most people are into marketing their fruit. Remember, you're just a branch in a tree, in a vine. Jesus is here, and you're in relationship to him. So you're in love. So you're kissing him every day, getting to know him. And then fruit comes out. But if you start looking at the fruit, you lose Jesus. So if you look at Jesus, you're not noticing the fruit. So don't notice, because the fruit isn't for you anyway. You don't get to eat the fruit anyway. It's not for Jesus. It's not for you. It's for the wicked. Amen. The fruit is for the poor. The fruit is for other people. It's not for you. When men see your good works, that's fruit. When they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Because they'll know, you didn't produce that, Karen. That was Jesus. And they'll glorify Jesus. That's a Christian. That's a mature man. That's a father. That's exactly what we're looking for. So God wants us to let our light so shine before men. That's my fruit. That light is my love, is my fruit, is my produce. But it's for others, not for me. I don't eat up my own produce. I'm not even interested in fruit. Jesus is my only, I taste and see. Remember he said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. He's talking about getting all the juice and all the fruit and all the nutrients from the rootage underneath that vine, which is the Father's love to the Son. And I get all of that, goes through my dead branch, and I come alive. But it's not my life. I don't have life in myself, but he does. But I have Christ in myself. And in the blood of Jesus, there is the life. The life is in the blood. And so all of a sudden, I'm producing fruit, but it wasn't me, it was Jesus. And what they saw is Jesus, and they know Jesus is the Son of God, he's the Father, because that's who you said. That's who you, that's what killed you, is Jesus. So you don't apologize. But most people want fruit. They love marketing. It's easier to market something, whether it's valuable or not. And in advertising helps you to market things that have no value, or low value. All the cars that are built today are fiberglass and plastic and things that don't last very long. They don't build them like the Model T, you know, or like my first Volkswagen, which was 12-gauge steel. You could run into anything, and the other thing would be damaged. My little Volkswagen just keep going. We could go into the ocean. You could drive right into the ocean, and we did. I liked doing it. Whatever. You would go anywhere. Because these little bitty tires, and you only had two things. You had a 10 millimeter and so on. Just you had a wrench and a screwdriver. That's it. And everything on that engine you could take apart or do with that two tools. So Adolf Hitler may have been stupid, but he did a good thing right there. I'll tell you what, that was a little Volkswagen. That was cool. And we could go across the whole country, and the kids used to have to sleep in the back. I don't know if Margaret remembers that. I don't even know if we had it when Margaret was there. But the other kids, you know, we put one in the up in the back window thing, you know, they're up there, you know, so like that. And then one on the seat and one on the floor, where I had all my books that I always buy, and so it was a perfect bed, and so there it is. And we could go anywhere, and we did. So it was a lot of fun. But they don't make them out of 12-gauge steel anymore. Everything is just plastic. You just barely touch something, and it broke. You got to repaint it, and it costs $1,000 now to repaint a little thing. You know, it's not really, but I'm just saying it's ridiculous, because it's just a little scratch, but it's on a door that costs $1,000 or something. You know, ridiculous.
All the paint peeled off my hood.
Did it? Yeah. Well, just get out there and hand do it. Just spray it yourself. So you can just buy a paintbrush, $20.
Make a painting.
Yeah, make a painting on it. Everybody will buy it. I think it's great. All right. So what I'm trying to say to you is, look, God is wonderful. God is good. And he wants fathers to look like him. Like he is to Jesus, so Jesus is to us, so we should be to everyone else. So let everybody have, and don't worry about it. Colossians 1:28. Colossians is so incredible. Let's read it. Somebody who has it. Who has it?
Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
Okay. First of all, start again. We read slower.
Whom we preach.
Preach. Okay. Preach is not the word. Kerygma's preach. That word is actually announce or declare. So what we announce or declare is two things. Okay, read a little bit more.
Warning every man.
Warning. Whoa. So warning means you're telling somebody you're in trouble. You're not going right. You're not doing right. You have to repent. You got to change your mind. So you're warning every man, and what else?
And teaching every man.
And teaching. So teaching is didaskalon. So if I give a warning to somebody, I'm not only announcing it, but I'm also giving a warning that if you don't accept this announcement, this is only an announcement to somebody who's in trouble. You got to get rid of something, some sin, some confusion, some lies, some illusions. So I'm going to announce to everybody the good news, and I'm warning you, if you don't take this announcement, you're going to be under the law. You're going to be under guilt. You're going to be under sin and death. You're in trouble. But then I have to teach you, if you hear it, keep going.
In all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
Okay, and in all wisdom. Wisdom is Sophia in Greek. Sophia means seeing something from God's point of view and not from your own. So I want to look at Peggy not from my point of view. I want to look at Peggy from God's point of view. Right? So a mature father, a pastor, anybody who's mature, they should be getting wisdom. So I'm going to announce to you the good news about Jesus. He wants every man to be mature in Christ. Wow. But how do I get there? Well, I told you. There's three ways. You got to go from outer court, holy place, holy of holies. You got to go from Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You got to go from this to this to this. You got to go from, you know, little children to young men to mature fathers. You've got to go from spirit, soul, body. You got to keep going along that process. Just men made perfect. Justified, sanctified, glorified. Now, so what he's saying is every man maturing Christ, I want to dwell on this word, mature, perfect. To be mature, you'd have to have wisdom prior to that. Every man should get wisdom to know what immature is not enough. Chair four here is not enough. You can't have just mature in chair four. You're just a little child. You're just beginning. It's all imputed righteousness, passive to you. You didn't do anything to get it. But then, to become active in it, we have to actually kill your old man so that it doesn't rule anymore. In other words, dethrone you. Just take you off the throne of your own life. Because your problem is not the fruit you bore that he forgave. The problem is the tree that bore that fruit, which is you. You did that apart from God. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So here, we got to throw you off of the throne and let God sit in the throne, not only of your heart, but also in your soul. And that's going to bump you. That's going to replace you. You are no longer king, God, ruler. In other words, we don't care what the man wants. We don't care about your needs. So what? Grow up. Hello? Grow up. Well, I needed that. Well, you don't need anything. You just need Jesus and you got him, so be quiet. So men don't like that. You could tell that would not be a good thing, especially if a guy was 6'5". You need to behave. Doesn't want to. Boom. But you know what? Men who are 6'5" love this gospel. I'm just telling you, because they're going to mess up all over the place. Such a man I know is not going to find happiness. Just because he's smart or strong or rich or good-looking or whatever. That's just problems. All of those things give you problems. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, for he shall direct your paths. Wow. So how I get to this direct your paths thing is to not lean to my own understanding, but acknowledge him. And there I need then to know this is the glory of God. that he loves me, therefore the father who loves his son chastens him, and therefore he's free. That's truth. Right there is faith active working in love. Beautiful. Because men are only interested in the last chair. They're not even interested in those chairs. Those are means to an end. I was born so I could die. I died so I could resurrect. So those are just means to an end. But resurrection life, to know him and the power of his resurrection. Wow. That's what I want. An intimate relationship with just Jesus, no Jim in it. Amen. Jesus is everything. Jesus is everything. And when that happens to a man, he's free for the first time. He's happy for the first time. He's at peace, and so is everybody else around him. So if you can find a man like that, and they're not born, you have to kill their old man to get that. No man is born mature. Every man. Adam was born, but he wasn't quite perfect. But he was made perfectly physically. And his mind was okay until that woman came into the picture. You all see that? That woman, she caused all the problems there. Because I'm sure Adam would have stayed on the true, straight and narrow.
You're right.
If anybody believes that, you're a fool. But okay, so we know that Adam sinned deliberately on purpose. I mean, he didn't say, okay, I'm going to let you die tonight and I'll bury you. He just said, hey, can you give me some of that for you? Because you look good to me. And so he took and he ate. She offered it to him and he took it. And God said, you know what your sin is? You listen to your wife instead of to me. Well, she's cuter than you. And so God said, no, I don't want you to go by your understanding. I want you to do what I say. So how many know that rebellion will not go easily? I don't care how many churches you have. You can have a zillion of them. It won't make any difference. But this truth is still the only truth there is. First of all, you have to be born again. Then you have to be filled with the Spirit. Filled, filled, filled means empty, empty, empty. If I fill this chair with me, let's say I fill this chair with me, then I had to empty what was ever here. So if you fill the glass up with water, all the air is gone. All the air that was in that glass is gone. So the oxygen was just sucked right out of the room because the water filled it up and it right to the brim. So when you're filled, it's really saying you're emptied. Now, once you're empty, Jesus fills you because this was the Holy Ghost you got filled with. Then Jesus is in you and therefore you can be a lover because the Holy Spirit is a lover. If he could love you, he could love anybody. I mean, if anybody could love you, they could love anybody. If anybody could love you as you are, really are, not, you know, in your imagination or an illusion, but if they could love you. So let's read a little bit further. There's more to it. Whoever wants to read, whoever has it.
To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily.
Isn't that interesting? Paul is saying that I strive, I labor, but I don't labor according to my ability, capacity, but according to that which dwells inside of me, Christ, a new man in Christ. Because you remember it said, every man mature in Christ, en Christu, in Christ. So there's the key right there. You're only mature if you're in Christ and if you're not in you. So this one forgives you, but this one actually removes you. Boom. You're no longer sitting on the throne. You're still here, but now you got a new man. Not only imputedly new, but now actually your soul is no longer running the show. You're just going, God, whatever you want. So this is your new will. This is your new heart. This is your new will. And this is your new behavior, which results not from your heart, but it results from what's in the soul. So when the Spirit borns you and then he fills you, then you can actually, you're a spiritual man and you can love so that he can love through you. So read it one more time. Listen carefully to how he words it.
To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily.
Okay, so his working is working in Paul, in this case, to help RE to grow so that RE gets the same thing. So as Paul was died, Now, he can love. He then brings his love, which is truth, because you speak the truth in love, to Ari, so that he then can be born of the Spirit, or if he is, then filled with the Spirit. And if he is emptied of himself, then he can be then filled with the same Spirit. Then we're brothers. We're sisters. That's the church. So you can move from the individual to the church. You can't move from the individual to the church until the individual is matured. So the church matures the individual, so then that individual becomes a father in the faith. Truly, whether he works or, you know, whatever he does, he could be a pastor or lazy, but whatever he's doing, it should work out. How many know that pastors don't have that big a job? You only see me, you know, an hour or something like that here a week. And yet, you know, I do really well. I do good. I do real good. Actually, I don't do that good, but it's okay. Who cares? I love it. I would do this for free. Right? Because after a while, you fall in love with people that are weird and strange. In other words, I don't care. Why? Because if God could love me, I could love anybody. One of the reasons why I like to go all over the world is to see people in different cultures and different situations. You know what? They all have ears. I mean, there's no difference. They all have eyes. They got eyes. They all have mouths. They all have children. They all have, you know, they all have the same stuff we have here. So what's the difference overseas or here? It's the same.
Right.
I mean, I don't care. All those other things are incidental. She's male, he's female, she's black, he's white, she's yellow, he's whatever. Those things are nothing. He's rich, he's poor, he's fat, he's skinny, he's smart, he's dumb. Those are nothing. 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 People are just people are just people.
That's right.
So if you can love one person, Jesus, you can love anybody. With the same love. Because Jesus is your first beloved, your marriage will always work. If Jesus is your first beloved, your marriage will always work.
Amen.
Why? Because even if you didn't love, Jesus would through you. But the first thing he'd want to do is get you dead. And if you just kill the men, there's no problem. That's all. Just kill the men. Is that easy? No. Every man is going to try to kill me before I kill them. It's a tug of war, you know. You're trying to do it. But you know what? I don't do it. I just let Jesus do it. Does that make sense? All right. So, I hope you're blessed today, Father's Day, that we want every father here to be a great father. Does anyone want to say anything about a father here? Want to boast on your father?
He's just the greatest dad. He's so sweet.
He is.
And kind. And for several years, I had a stepfather who was an absolute crazy person.
I know him.
Mean.
Yeah,
and I know him. Crying right after I first met him. And
yeah.
But then on the other hand, my dad is so the opposite.
Perfect.
So.
Perfect. His dad is. He's a great man. It's good. I love it. Who else wants to brag on your father? Male, female, either one. Yes?
I didn't have a great relationship with my father when I was growing up. He was never there. All he thought was work. But now, everything's great.
Yeah.
I mean, he's my best friend. I can tell him anything and everything.
Too powerful.
And he always has the perfect words for me.
Wow. See, that's sweet. That's powerful. Love can change anybody. Mm-hmm. Anybody. Love. His love. God's love. Who else? Anyone else? Yes?
I have the privilege of being Jerry Johansson's daughter, and he is the perfect dad, and he's full of wisdom and love and patience and shepherding of really all three of us and his son-in-law, and he cares deeply, and he loves our grandchildren, and I just thank you for being the father of all my years, Daddy.
It's powerful.
We're glad you brought him to church, too.
Amen.
And you know what?
He probably bought her.
You have blessed our entire family with the fatherhood of God.
Yeah, with God.
And blessed me, blessed my husband, blessed my dad, and really blessed our children. So I thank the Lord for your
God's smart.
Your walking in a deep love with your Father to father all of us.
Amen. No, it's powerful. The fatherhood of God is everything.
And here are the blessings that a father gives.
Yeah. I know. It's well worth it, isn't it?
Yeah.
To see other people fulfilled, reach their destiny, their purpose, their end, which is to be mature. Every man mature in Christ. That's what you were created to do that. He created you to be perfect. That's your end. Who else? Anyone want to brag on their father?
Well, I lost my father a number of years ago, and him being in law enforcement and things like that, dealt with very difficult people in very difficult situations. But I can't remember a day I didn't see him read the Bible.
Wow.
It's too powerful. So we don't want to lose that kind of father, man. Who else wants to brag?
How do you?
It can be on your mother or father. I don't really care.
Yeah, when I was three, my dad passed away. But I have no regrets. Because when I met my Heavenly Father, he was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He is everything.
Amen.
He is everything.
Everything.
And I just give him glory because he is my Father.
Right. Perfect.
Amen. And he placed you, Bob Burgess, other men of God in my life.
It's powerful.
He is my
Yeah. Yeah.
My dad.
He's your real Father in heaven.
He is.
Your Heavenly Father. Who else?
Well, my dad prayed me into the kingdom.
Good. Yeah.
He also prayed me here.
Wow.
Praise God. Wow.
I came here because of him.
Wow. That's powerful.
Amen.
Who else? Fathers. They can be dead or alive. Yeah.
I have a great dad. Took a while for us to get a relationship.
Yeah.
I'm really blessed.
It's powerful. Fathers are a gift of God. It doesn't matter that they've sinned or let you down or weren't perfect. They're not supposed to be. They're just people. And someone else didn't father them or did father them. That's the whole issue. So doesn't excuse them, but it does explain them. Yes, not everybody has that upbringing of the truth. You have to get this truth that only Jesus, a mature man in Christ, that is what we need.
Amen.
Right? So you can have an imperfect father because everybody is. That's not what you want. What you want is a perfect Father in heaven who sends his perfect Son to live inside of you and then mature you, give you his, their Holy Spirit to then finish your destiny and purpose just as he originally intended and planned. So that word in Greek is teleo. Teleo means your final end, your final purpose, your final destiny. The reason you were created in the first place, Jesus, you had sinned, so you lost that. But Jesus forgave you, so now you can have that back and then keep going until the end. Don't quit before the miracle. Just keep going until you're dead to this world and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Why? All the joy is right there. And you can have heaven on earth. That last chair is heaven on earth, not just heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Why? So that other men may also get all that fruit and eat it all up. And when you have it, first of all, you have it. Why? Because you have Jesus. And what do they get? Jesus. Because that's not your fruit, that's actually Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, and all that. That is all Jesus. It's not you. That's not your fruit. That actually is Jesus himself going through you to them. And they see not you doing the work, they see the Father that sent his Son. And they glorify and marvel. And they accept Jesus. That's powerful. That's a mature father. That's a Christian. So I hope one or two of you are changed by this message about how to figure out why this process takes so long. This is not easy. God makes it hard deliberately. But that's all right. This is the only way to do it. Do it the hard way. Amen? And the best has been saved to the last. So don't you think right now it's our turn?
Amen.
Let's bless the rest of the world's falling apart. Our own nation's falling apart.
Yeah.
Not just the Democrats are falling apart, the Libertarians, the, you know, everybody's falling apart. Republicans are falling apart because they can't get along. You know, some hate Trump and some of them, you know, wanted Ted or whatever they wanted. They grow up. You want the other team to win, they're just losers. Because we're not arguing about how to best be an American. We're arguing about what we're even talking about. Because they're into communism, socialism, and groupism, and collectivism, and blah, 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 blah. So we're not talking about building a republic. None of them want it. All our founding fathers never disagreed about what our goal was. They all agreed to liberty and justice. But it's not. We're arguing now today whether what you call justice is justice, because what we call is not just how you get that justice out. That's what the founders argued about. They all disagreed. But you can disagree on superficials, but you can't disagree on the foundation. Today, we're only arguing over the foundation. We're not arguing about something superficial. It's not how's the best way for everybody to be happy. It's the best way to redistribute your wealth. No founder ever. That is not part of the Constitution. That's not part of what they wanted. They wanted everyone to be equal, not in terms of money or looks or anything else. That's the pluribus. They wanted you to be equal under the, you know, liberty and justice for all. That's what's common. That's the unum. Out of the many, one. The one is small. It's the many that's huge. So the purpose of the one is to protect the many and then to destroy anything that attacks it. That was the only purpose of the unum. It had to be strong enough to destroy the anarchists and the tyrants. And it had to be weak enough so that the people didn't lose any of their liberties. But today, it's all out of order. So we're arguing over something huge, something big. But it's okay, because the battle's the Lord's. If you just do what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, I'll give you everything else. I'll give you everything else. So the problem isn't the world today, the problem is us. And if he could just get us, he can win the whole world. All right, God bless you. Happy Father's Day to anyone here who is a father, and anyone who had a father. I bet everybody here had a father. I bet everybody did. I don't know why. It's just a guess. But just assuming that. All right.